This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guess what's in store? Life After Lemons.
The podcast
with Paul Cook.
This is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. If you ever stop listening to The Paul Cook Show,
Life After Lemons,
I am coming for you.
Academy Award right here.
For the past 20 years, I've been fascinated with discovering ways for people to overcome obstacles. Then my wife and I both were diagnosed with different advanced cases of cancer here in our 40s.
Life After Lemons.
So I cannot wait to work together with you and my compelling guests to seek and share examples of rare victory right here on this podcast every time you click on a new episode.
Life After Lemons.
The podcast
with Paul Cook.
I'll take some of that.
You might be one who believes there are no coincidences, or you at least know the flaw in everything's a coincidence. The definition of coincidence: a remarkable occurrence of events or circumstances without apparent casual connection. Casual connection. What about a deeper connection or meaning? I think we all have some of those where we're like, no way that is happening. No way. That was me being an actor. Anyway, this podcast is about the fallacy that is in some coincidences. And the stories that make them up. Two of them, in fact, that I think are really cool and memorable. One from me and another from my guest, Clint Hamill from Gateway Foundation. Incredible. You must hear what he gathered from his coincidence. But my book, Cooked in LA, is just past its 10-year anniversary. I'm so proud to have written it and that it got published. I'm not too gleeful about some of the details in the book, but you got to share the low stuff in order to go high. You'll even hear that from Clint Hamill, my guest. We're going to have a little audiobook theme. I'm going to read for you a coincidence that people mention to me the most, and they say, there are no coincidences. I won't go on and on, but I want to read that excerpt. And also, get ready for my interview with Clint Hamill. If you know anyone struggling with substances, this is the podcast. And who isn't during quarantine? They say it's way up. People that were not alcoholic before are starting to face that reality because of all the time on our hands and all of the uncertainty. Totally understandable. We want to help you find recovery and love. And that's what this episode of Life After Lemons is all about. A little bit of background before the reading. When you're in the depths of your alcoholism, you really just want to be left alone, right? You don't want to be bothered or reminded, but God has a way of bringing people around you. And that's another coincidence that I don't know if you can just explain away as a casual happening. One of my big drinking buddies in high school was Johnny. And Johnny realized he was an alcoholic much sooner than I did. He actually found recovery in his early 20s. And I always thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. And stay away from me. But throughout my last 6 months of drinking, he kept popping up here and there. Maybe it was Breadco or just somewhere where I'd be at a restaurant or at the movie theater. Even when I was in LA, we had a conversation on the phone. He said, it doesn't have to be this hard. My way is actually the easier way to live. Yeah. Thanks, man. Johnny always said, I must keep intersecting with you for a reason. Uh-huh. Well, the thing was, he got a good job in Kansas City and moved away. Great for him. Great for me at the time. I don't have to keep running into this guy in this huge city of St. Louis. At least he's now in Kansas City. The reading starts after another long night drinking and everything else, after promising my wife I would stop. Back home after that, really late, middle of the night. I stare, drenched in bar smoke, ears loudly ringing in the silence. Where have I been? I know I try to act like the good husband, but I am incapable of true consistency. I will probably always be this way. A trite thought of self-pity hits me. Maybe she'll be better off without me. Through all of this, intense thoughts of suicide have not really percolated to the top of my sick brain. But that sure is one way of stopping this roller coaster. Of course, grow up, Paul! I hear stadiums of people shouting at me. Early the next morning, Jen needs to drive me back to the club to get my car because I was too messed up and scared to drive. I know that a night like this night causes worry and concern for her. On the awkward drive to get my car, I lightly salt in some inquiries to see where she is on the subject of me. Stepping away from the book, here comes awkward Paul reading dialogue for two different people time. Back to it. So how are you feeling? Fine, she says. Minutes pass. What's going on today? You know, we're going to see your parents. Oh yeah, I say. I'm tired of sapping around. I hate this. I can swear it off, but I know I'll be right back here again in a week. Jen, this is it. I'm done doing this to myself, to us. I'm just glad you didn't drive home. But you know what I mean. It's over. Paul, I feel very bad for you. For me? Don't. I do. I hope that you will find a way out of this someday. Jen, I will. That is what I'm telling you. We both know now that promising is a daily occurrence for me. It's all I do. There's your car, she says. I stand outside her car, leaning down. I look her in the eye. I'm gonna do this. She says, okay, yeah, I know you will. She says without looking up, only to make me stop talking. Driving home that early Sunday morning in the bright sunshine, I realize this problem has taken me to new lows. The entirety of me is loneliness, huge regret, and that useless self-pity. At a stoplight, I bang on the steering wheel and cry out, end this shit, no matter how. I take a breath, look up to where I think God is, and I said, God, help me, please. The traffic signal changes to green. I make my left. A car directly in front of me makes a right turn on the same street at the same time. We are side by side now. Oh, what's this lady want? It's a guy, and he's waving his hands. He motions to me. Oh no, this guy must have seen my tantrum. I speed a car length ahead of him. I'm hoping he will just stay back there, but it's not going to happen. Stepping away from the book, I'm going to pause right there and come back to it after my guest, Clint Hamill, and his coincidence. Things you must hear. Stay close. Hey, Clint, thank you so much for agreeing to do the Life After Lemons obstacle course.
Well, I'm really excited. I listened to some of these podcasts that you've done, and I love it. What an inspirational story, and all those stories that I heard. And there's just not enough positive energy going on out there these days. And man, it's nice to see something that makes you happy.
Wow. Thank you very much for saying that. I really appreciate it. That was like one of the first things. I mean, it's such a crazy time. The first things that you and I talked about is something that, you know, you've been in recovery a long time and we're going to get into it. And if you're listening, you got to hang on to hear more from Clint, his story and where he works and what he's up to. But that was a big thing. You were saying there's just a lot of negativity out there and, you know, and a few other things, but tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, the environment that we're in right now, I feel like it's so toxic. And it's so easy to, hate other people and other groups and everything else. And that's one of the things about recovery that I really, really love is that there is no class, there is no race, there's nothing like that, because we're all fighting one single thing, and that's addiction. And just being able to put a message out there that's positive about recovery is really important. So yeah, you know, life or lemons, what is it called? Lemons?
Life After Lemons.
Life After Lemons. I mean, great title. And the idea itself is great. And I hope people, I'm going to share this with everybody.
Good. Well, see, that's right there. A positive for having you on for that. And I haven't even got to hear your story yet, but you're so right, man. People look, well, especially people that aren't dealing with addiction, they look on it, you know, they've been burned probably by some folks, and that happens. We all have, you know, and it can make you think that people don't ever recover or ever have the will to try recovery. Of course, it's not a disease of the will, as you and I both know, but it is nice to have people that are happy and being good to each other. We don't have enough of that, do we?
No. And you hit one thing right on the head that, you know, I have to use air quotes, normal. So quote unquote, normal people, they don't look at this as a disease. It's really more of like a moral choice. Like, why is he doing, why is my loved one? Why is my husband? Why is my kid? Why is my wife? Why is my family member? Why is my best friend? Why is he doing these stupid things? And it's not because, you know, we chose to, you know, I didn't dream when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a, you know, Top Gun was out when I was a kid. So I wanted to be a fighter pilot, or I wanted to be a golf pro because I love golf. And, you know, those were the things that I dreamed about being there. You know, I never dreamt of becoming an alcoholic or an addict.
Man, that's well put. It's true. Would you ever have guessed or wanted to be here, even though it ends up being a good thing for you?
Exactly. I mean, no. The fact that I am, and I've told you this before, I wear my recovery like a badge of honor. I don't shy away from it. Today, life is no longer this constant worry about what I can't do anymore. The only focus that I have nowadays is, you know, I want to tackle everything that I can do, and I can do anything. So that it's a very freeing experience. I'm grateful to be where I am. I'm lucky that I'm in recovery. If the things that had happened to me in the past hadn't happened, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I'll tell you, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better son. I'm a better friend than I ever would have been had I not gone through what I went through. So do I look back and regret? No, not anymore.
Wow. Well put, my friend. That is really cool. I'm so glad I got to meet you. Tell me a little bit what it was like for you back there when you were mucking it up.
Well, I mean, so I came from like a upper middle class family. I wasn't supposed to be an alcoholic or an addict. It hits everybody. That's what I said. It doesn't matter about class or socioeconomic, anything, race, nothing. It doesn't make any difference. I shouldn't have been an alcoholic, but I am. I'll kind of tell a little story.
You do it. You go ahead.
I remember when I was, I don't remember a whole lot of being 4 years old, but that's when my parents got divorced. And I had to go. It was a rough divorce. And I remember having to go to the courthouse, and this is in the 70s, late 70s. So the judge back in those days asked, you know, I remember going into the judge's chambers, very intimidating judge sitting there with a big back chair behind him. And I'm sitting in this metal little blue chair big at the time chair. And, you know, ultimately he asked me, who do you want to live with? And that's a tough thing for a 4 year old to have to decide. Right. So there I am sitting in this blue chair having to decide, you know, do I want to go live with my mom or my dad? And without knowing really what I wanted to answer, I said, I guess my mom. And so there I was. I made that decision. I remember my dad took me to my mom's house after that court date and dropped me off. And I remember seeing the tear in my dad's eye. And that's the first time I'd seen that. Right. And so I lived with making the decision like, I don't love my dad as much as I love my mom. So here I go. And I'm going to go stay with mom. And it was kind of a weird thing. So that's that started off like the emotional side of things. And it was really heartbreaking. So, you know, 15, I start drinking, get drunk for the first time at 14 or 15. I remember me and a buddy raiding the liquor cabinet when dad was gone. Then I played my parents back and forth, because I'm a liar and a manipulator. That's what alcohol taught me, you know, I'm a liar and a manipulator. So that's what I did. And I played them back and forth for years. And, you know, I drank heavily, started using drugs about 21, but at one point I crossed over this imaginary line, that all of us cross over when all of us alcoholics and addicts, we cross over this imaginary line of before it was fun. Then we cross over this imaginary line and then it's not fun anymore. Right?
And
true. You can never go back over that line. Once you've crossed it, you can never go back. Once you've become a pickle, you can never be a cucumber again. So I had crossed over that line. Fast forward, I got a golf scholarship to play golf in college, alcoholic throughout the whole time, drugs and everything. Then, after college, I, got a job, as an assistant golf pro, did that for 4 years. I remember sleeping in the locker rooms after drinking all night, waking up, buying new clothes off the rack the next day and taking a shower at the clubs and stuff like that. So miserable. But somehow I got through that. Then I realized I couldn't make enough money doing that. So I got into the insurance business, went to a couple of different insurance firms, got my license and all that stuff. And, you know, got fired from the first one for a DUI, second one from a DUI, went into selling copiers, got fired from that job from a DUI, got another job with a different copier company, got fired for that one for a DUI. So if you're counting, that's four DUIs. I had one more after that too.
Wow.
So five DUIs, the last one, put me in county jail for 85 days, at which point the, state's attorney decided to turn into aggravated felony DUI. So there you go. I've got a felony on my record and I will forever. So I am a felon too. You know, 85 days in jail. At that point I was working construction, pretty much looking out the window all the time, cause I always knew I had a warrant out for my arrest. And so life wasn't very fun. So I remember getting cuffed the last time in the back of the cop car thinking, well, this is it. And so they told me, I was 85 days in jail. They said, you're either going to go to 2 to 7 years in prison or you can go to rehab. Well, duh. You know? So I go, I'm waiting for a bed at Gateway Foundation for 85 days. And, finally, bed comes up and I go there. I had 4 hours to get from jail to Gateway. And there I sat in Gateway. And like I said before, I'm a liar and a manipulator. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell these, professional counselors, what they want to hear. I'm going to BS my way through everything because I'm a liar and a manipulator and I'm really good at it. So they're not going to see through me at all. I can fool them. Right. So there I go. But 4 days into this, the outside AA group, Alcoholics Anonymous group, comes in, and every Sunday and Monday night AA comes into the Gateway facility. So, this guy, Jason K, was chairing the meeting, and he's got this like gruff smoker's voice, and I had never been to an AA meeting before, so I didn't know what to expect. And he says, I like vodka and cocaine and blah, blah, blah. And he starts going down this whole list, this crazy stuff that he did and how he lost all these jobs and just the whole story that he had. And I'm sitting there going, wow, okay, me too. Me too. Me too. Everything that he said, it was like hitting me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, holy crap. I'd never heard anything like this before. Real people talking about really same thing that I've been doing for 20 years. Mm. And then he says the magic words. He says, if you want what we, and they stop for a second. I start looking around the room and there's 20 outside AA group people in there that came in from the outside to hold their meeting inside my facility. And I noticed that all of them looked happy and they were clean and smelled good. And they had families that loved them and they had cars and they had jobs and they had houses and all the things that they had, I wanted all that so bad. So Jason says the magic words. If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. Come up and talk to one of us after the meeting. So 4 days into treatment, I'm BSing my way through this whole thing. I didn't have any plans on actually going through with any of this. he says all this stuff. I listen to what he says, and he says, come talk to us. And so I did. I went up and talked to him right after the meeting, and I said, man, can you help me out? And he said, sure. So I started working the steps while I was in treatment. And that moment right there completely turned my life, changed my life forever.
And so, it hit you right between the eyes, didn't it? Right there.
And I finally got it. And so kind of to, you know, full circle here, out of Gateway Treatment, fast forward 8 years of recovery, I went back to the sales field and, you know, did very well. I was fine. Sobriety was much easier. Recovery is much easier life than addiction. So for 8 years, I'm fine. About 2 years ago, I'm on ZipRecruiter, and I see this position open for business development coordinator at Gateway Foundation. I'm like, wow, I wonder if that's my old place. So I look it up, and it is. So I take a shot and send in my application and resume. I get a phone call from Chicago. The phone interview goes well. The guy comes down to Caseyville, where I was in treatment, and I met with him there for a personal interview. Personal interview went well. Boom, I get the job as business development coordinator for Gateway Foundation. And then I start working, and business development is basically just that. I'm trying to develop relationships with businesses, you know, whether it's legal, whatever, lawyers, treatments, other treatment providers, therapists, counselors, all that stuff. Well, judges is one of the things that one of my target groups. And in Bond County, the judge, the state's attorney who gave me the felony, had become the judge, circuit judge in Bond County. So I call him up and I talk to him. I know him very well. He's a good friend of mine now. But I call him up and said, hey, listen, you guys don't have a drug court. Can I come in and sit down and talk to you about, you know, trying to put something together to help these people rather than throwing them in jail and locking them up? Let's see if we can get them help and see if we can get them on the same path that I am, because we do recover. And he says, that sounds awesome. Come on in. So here I go in to Bond County Courthouse, go up, and I go into the judge's chambers. And there's my buddy, Chris, the judge, sitting in that high back chair. And he says, have a seat. So I sit down and we start talking. And then I start looking around the room thinking, oh my God, this is the same room. And I'm here and I look down and I'm sitting in the same blue chair that I sat in when I was 4 years old. And I'm talking to the judge in his high back chair in the same exact room. It was chilling. And I realized, my God, you know, somebody's doing something here. This isn't just fate, right? This
right.
Isn't just fate. Something's going on here. And I'm sitting here where I sat when I was 4 years old, talking to the judge about trying to help people and trying to save lives. How crazy is that? So, you know, there's something more going on than just, you know, me and a job.
Wow. That is unbelievable. You said full circle, and I thought this is going to be incredible if you were in the same room when, you know, you had the DUIs or where you were dealing with that, but you go, oh my gosh, all the way back to when you were 4 years old, probably one of the most traumatic original incident of your life. And oh my gosh, unbelievable. You're right. There has got to be a poetry, a design for all of this. If there's anything in the world, I mean, that is an incredible thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I get chills when I talk about it, I still get chills. It's it was pretty powerful. And boy, at that point, if I didn't know before, at that point, I knew I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, that is Clint Hamill. We're talking on Life After Lemons. I'm Paul Cook. And what a story. If you're joining us now, you got to go back a little bit and hear that. That is just really cool. So you've been at Gateway Foundation for over 2 years now?
Yeah, in April, it'll be 2 years.
Oh my gosh. And I love that you went for it. I mean, there is a ton of people, you know, we learn and depending on the program, you know, and I think I know yours, you mentioned it. We learn you've got to, that's your cause now, you know, in order to keep this and to not need substances every day, you've got to give it away. You've got to try to help others. And so many people, you know, get that sales job, like you said, and you did really well and they just stick with that, you know, and to have you continue on in the way you have and make it part of your life, I'm sure it's an incredible gift to you, but it's also, I think, brave and there's a lot of courage to go out there and be around this.
I'll tell you what, I'm not a brave man, but what I will say is that there is no feeling like seeing the light come on in somebody's eyes who's been in the dark for as long as I was. I spent 20 years in the dark. Some people don't spend that long. I like to say bottom is just when you stop digging. And I want to just take the shovel out of people's hands. That's what my goal is. But do you know anyone? I mean, honest question. Do you know anyone who doesn't have a family member or a close friend that suffers from substance abuse?
No, I mean, I used to say that a while back and I thought, God, I wonder if I'm kind of reaching here, but it's so true. I mean, yeah. Especially now, but everyone is affected. You're right.
We're by far the largest group of unheard people in the United States, without a doubt. Everybody knows about cancer and what to do. Everybody knows about diabetes. Everybody knows about AIDS. Everybody knows about COVID-19. Yeah, 2/3 of the families in America have been touched by addiction, and nobody knows what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the deal. It's unbelievable that I can walk somebody. I get to walk somebody in the door on the worst day of their life, and then a few months down the road, see them at an alumni meeting and see the lights back on in their eyes. It's that there's no amount of money that can compare to the feeling that you get whenever you get to see that.
Wow. What a great image, the lights back on in their eyes. And it's true. Their eyes are brighter. You know, there's just a darkness, a sad haze that we can all relate to when we first came around that goes away. And what an amazing rebirth. You know, when we met last week, you were talking about, you know, you answer the phone, man. You are on the conversations with these parents and people and mates and all that. And that is an incredible reward. You've heard some stories, I bet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. We talked about it before. I've got a drunken log. I could tell you about all the crazy things I did, but that doesn't do any good. What does good is telling somebody, I've been where you are and I know how to help. That's what's important. It's not how crazy things got. It's I know how you feel. I can be in a room. We have 44 bed facility in my place there in Caseyville. And when I go into the rooms and sit in there and talk to groups of 40 plus people, I can talk to them in a different way than I can talk to any of the quote unquote normal people, even my family. I can't talk to my family like I can talk to them because there's a certain bond that I have with them and they understand it because they're fighting the same thing I'm fighting. And you know this too. I can talk to you. I can talk to people in recovery. I can talk to people in recovery a different way than I talk to normal people. And that keeps me grounded in what I need to be doing every day, right? That's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. For your own recovery.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know there's so many reasons for that. I've thought a lot about that. We've been in the trenches together, you know. We know what it's like to just not feel right and think, I'm always going to feel this way, you know. What do you say to the people? I think I know the answer, but what do you say to the people that think Clint Hamill is special, not many people recover, you know? That's great, but I don't think I could do it.
I'll tell you what. I am the least special person you'll ever know, Paul. I promise you that. There's no question about it. I'm the least special person in the world. I was told one thing. See, here's what Jason Kay in the first meeting I was ever at, and this is what made me decide to at least give it 100%. Because, at that point I'm in rehab, or whoever I'm talking to at that point, I'm at the lowest point, right? And they said, if you do three things, you will never have to drink or drug again. And that was a powerful statement because he didn't say, if you do three things, you won't drink or drug again. He said, you won't have to drink or drug again. And that's true because you have to when you're an addict or an alcoholic. You don't have a choice. You have to. So he said, if you do these three things, you don't ever have to drink or drug again. He said, if you go to meetings, if you work the steps, and if you have a sponsor, you will never have to drink again. If you're actively doing those three things, not one, don't just go to meetings, because eventually if you just go to meetings, you don't have a sponsor work to study, it don't work. And if you stop going to meetings, obviously it's not going to work. But if you just work three steps and you don't do the step four or step five, that doesn't work either. If you try to do the steps on your own without a sponsor, that doesn't work either.
Sponsoring yourself. I've tried that, by the way.
I tried it too. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. So he said, he promised me a 100% fail-proof way of staying sober for the rest of your life. If you go to meetings, work the steps with a sponsor, you will stay sober. And I said, okay, I'll try it. Well, it's almost 11 years, and I haven't ever gone back.
Wow, that is amazing, man. That is so cool. What does your family think of you?
I mean, it's embarrassing. It is because I think my family and friends think a lot more of me than I think of myself, and it's embarrassing whenever they talk about, I can't believe you've been sober that long, and I can't believe your life, how big your life, how much your life's changed. I don't see it like that. It's just, I'm not flashy. I don't seek attention and or any of that stuff. I'm passionate. I'm not going to shy away from the discussion. And whenever I'm in front of a parent who's got a kid that's struggling, or if I'm in front of someone who's, you know, maybe going to jail if they don't get their life straight, or if I'm just in front of someone who's just had enough, man, I'll talk for hours and I'll do anything I can to help them. And that's all that I do. I don't do anything else. I want them to get help. There's the stats are crazy. About $600 billion a year, over $600 billion a year is lost just due to all of the drugs and alcohol, the problems with it. So over $400 billion in lost wages, $50-60 billion in increased healthcare costs, over $100 billion in criminal justice expenses. So that's a $600 billion a year. 98% of those costs go to cleaning up the mess caused by addiction.
Wow.
But only 2% of it goes to preventing and treating it like a health problem. So yeah, there's a disconnect there. And so almost 11 years ago when I was in treatment, I was in there for the average stay was 90 days. I was in there for 107 because I was really messed up. But nowadays, we're lucky to have them in there for 30 days, and we're fighting with insurance companies every day to make sure that they can stay longer. So, you know, it's tougher. These counselors have a third of the time that they used to have to get deep enough into this problem with every specific person to get them the treatment that they need. It's just not long enough.
I know. And how many things are categorized under, let's say, heart attack? Really, it was alcoholism or drugs. You know, I mean, all these things are, you know, who knows what? Texting and driving, even. You could have been buzzed. You know, there's so many things. And then that lost productivity, like you said, if the government or companies could have a little more vision, they would save so much money, you know, on the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to companies a lot. I talk to different industries. And when I talk to them, I say, listen, it's 10 to 1. You spend $1 on prevention and treatment for people that are struggling with substance abuse, you get $10 back off that. If any of your employees would come into you and say, I have a problem, and you send them to treatment, they're going to come back and be better employees than they would be if you went out and fired them and rehired. It costs three times more to rehire somebody and train them for the position and do all that stuff than it does to get treatment for the person that you already have. And when you get them back, they're a more loyal, more concerned about their job, and they're appreciative to the company that actually helped them get sober. So it's just, there's not enough light shined on that. You know, how many news stories do you hear? I mean, do you ever really hear very many news stories about somebody celebrating 10, 20, 50 years of recovery?
Never.
No,
never.
I didn't hear that. But now, the flip side of that, how many stories do you hear about people that are just a mess. Whitney Houston, Chris Farley, Charlie Sheen, Lindsay Lohan, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, the list is on and on and on. We don't need any more celebrities telling us about how they've destroyed their lives. We need celebrities who can step forward and say, hey, my name is blank and I'm a person in a long-term recovery, and what that means to them, and then tell that story. And I don't know if they would do that, if we would have more of that. And that's why what you're doing right now, Paul, is honestly is an unbelievable service, because people need to hear that we do recover and life is good on the other side of this.
Clint Hamill, Life After Lemons. It's Paul Cook. Well, the thing is, you're doing it too, because I wouldn't be here if you weren't. I could just be pontificating, but stories like yours, stories in general, connect us, and to see what has happened in your life is amazing, but it is so darn frustrating that those stories are not told more, and people that are needing a substance every day to feel right are doing it alone, you know, and thinking, well, you know, I don't want to point the finger at me. Then I look like I'm a bad guy and, you know, maybe I'll never get well. Or how about this one, Clint? I'll get sober in a couple months and then COVID happens, you know, like, oh my God, now we're doing everything on Zoom. And that is wonderful and more accessible in many ways, but speak to that a little bit. As a guy, a specialist on the front lines at Gateway, what about during COVID and the challenges there?
So that's a great question. And I'm 10 years, almost 11 years of sobriety. That puts me in the stage of an old timer around the table. So it's hard to not be what I just said, around the tables anymore. There are a few meetings that are still meeting in person, but the vast majority of stuff has gone to online. Let's talk about the good. It gives unbelievable opportunities to be part of meetings that you never would ever be able to be a part of. I was in a meeting in Australia. Okay. It was great hearing the accent. So I encourage people to reach out of their comfort zones and look at different meetings that you never would have thought of being in. Buddy of mine said that he got on a meeting in LA. I can't remember what celebrity, but one of them, like a Charlie Sheen or somebody, was at the meeting on Zoom. So how cool is that? There's some cool stuff out there. All of our outpatient programs. What we do is most places do this, but we're really good at it. First of all, it's not hard. And you understand this. It's not hard to get sober. It's hard to stay sober. Okay. And that's what we really excel in at Gateway. The full continuum of care, like I talked about, door to door. I'm bringing somebody at their worst day, bringing them into treatment, and then I get to see them later down the road. But we use like the 9 evidence-based practices, like CBD and DBT and the 12-step facilitation. But we also have alumni groups that start after. As soon as you get out, you're automatically a member of the alumni, and then you get the Gateway Connect app, and you're hooked up. So you're around people in recovery all the time. And that's important because you need to be around people in recovery. So, and then after treatment, inpatient, which we're still open and we're still taking clients on all of our locations. But after inpatient, you need to go to outpatient, because like I said, when I was there, it was 90 days. Now it's only 30 days, and you need to stay up with some serious help with a counselor. So, you know, you're going to stay in there. And so that's the hard part. It's not hard to get sober. It's hard to stay sober. And we really want to keep you sober. And we're going to reach out to you and make sure that you have all the tools necessary to do that. That's the hard part. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. The virtual part of the world, like you talked about, nowadays with COVID, we are doing all of our groups in outpatient virtually. And I've run some of those groups. And I'm telling you, it's really fun. It's just like you would be sitting around a table. There's people that are kind of just not really doing anything, and there's people that are really running the meeting. I mean, it's a great platform. Cool. I miss face to face, because I don't know if you go to meetings, but that's kind of a fun thing for me. I need that.
Yeah. Right. You feel it. You can feel it more, you know, but you're right. There are some great advantages. I did one this morning and it had to go back online after, you know, the new restrictions. And I even said it then, like, I feel bad for the guy that has pushed off his recovery and then this hit, you know, not that you can't recover. Gosh, thank God for places like Gateway Foundation, but I can, it's more difficult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's one of the things that, one of the things that I really like to talk about is that everybody is going through something different in their recovery or in their addiction. So as Gateway, we've got 14 locations, but throughout Illinois, but we've split some things up to really focus on different areas. So we have a program called Her Story, which is just women's trauma. That's a big number. We have a Triumph program. It's called Triumph, and that's just for professionals. So you can actually take your laptop in and actually get some work done, laptops and cell phones. So
wow.
If you own a business and you can't just up and leave for 30 days, we understand that. So we have a professionals group. We have an AUD program, which is alcohol only program. So you're not in a group that's a mix of everything. It's just alcoholics. We also have an LGBTQ plus program up in Lake Villa that's facilitated by members of that community. So
wow.
Everything is, so we can really zone in and focus on different points. And then we actually have a sober living house where if you've got nothing, which a lot of people do at that point have nothing, we can help you get your life back in a safe sober living environment where you can start working, start putting your life back together before you take off the training wheels and go back out.
Man, you said it. Well, how can somebody listening, what's your website or how can someone look into what you guys are up to?
Get a hold of you. Gatewayfoundation.org. We also have the 800 number, 877-505-HOPE. And then I'm just going to give you and all your listeners my personal number, which is 618-314-4055.
Wow.
Anybody that is struggling whatsoever, they're welcome to call me at any time of the day or night, weekends. My phone never leaves my side. There's 24 million of us in recovery out there living a life, right?
Yeah.
And there's 25 million people out there that need help. And my phone, there's my number. Call me if you do.
That's a first. There's a first on Life After Lemons. Clint Hamill gives his phone number, even more than his home, his sidearm phone, his phone number to his cell phone. That is really amazing and such a useful resource for anybody struggling right now. Oh gosh. So tell me, what is the process? And I don't know if everybody knows, you guys are nonprofit.
Yeah, we are. And we're big, so we didn't get any bailout or any help anywhere. So we are a nonprofit. We've been around for 52 years. We know how to do this. My CEO is in recovery himself, an awesome guy. My executive director at my facility in Caseyville, he's been in the industry for 25 plus years. All the executive directors at all the different places have been at their positions for quite a long time. Our president of our commercial division is also in recovery. Awesome guy too. I couldn't be happier with the people I work with and the job that they do. But as far as those people, yes, they're important. What's really important is master's level counselors that we have. Those are my heroes because they did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And, you know, we are a co-occurring facility. So that means like mental health and substance abuse disorder. So co-occurring, I had a lot of anger issues that I didn't realize that I had before I got to Gateway. Right. That was my thing. Anger. I didn't know how to figure out those things, but that's the co-occurring part of the treatment that I went through. I learned a lot about myself and sometimes it's the only time in our entire lives that we have that much time to just focus on getting better ourselves. And that's the power of it. Going into treatment shouldn't be scary. Going into treatment, whether it's outpatient or inpatient treatment, it's an opportunity. It's not something that you have to be ashamed of. It's an opportunity to take control of your life for the first time in years.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful move. And, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, but that's what I tell them when they're in treatment is that, listen, if it doesn't work this time, just have the courage to come back in. Just have the courage to come back in, because for everyone, it doesn't work the first time. I've got people in there that have been into 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 different facilities, 10 different times, but that are getting it now. And that's all that's important is that they will recover. You can recover.
Wow. Clint Hamill, you said it. People are on the different path. You know, we're in our recovery at some point or another. You might be, you never know which time it might be the one that sticks or one like it was with you. Such an incredible story. Again, gatewayfoundation.org. You're in Caseyville. Do you travel around? 13 in Illinois, huh?
Yes, 14.
14.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. We're going to have someplace for you all the way up to the tip top, up by the very top of Chicago, all the way down to Carbondale.
Wow.
We take 98% of the insurance. If you've got personal insurance, we take it. If it's government funded insurance, we take that too. So, it doesn't matter what you have. If you don't have anything at all, we can still help by, some of the grants that the state has. So,
wow. Huge. That is huge, man.
We're not bad people. We're just sick people.
Man, you just said a ton, my friend. And, you know, I always heard that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And that's you, buddy. I know you'll be embarrassed I said that, but Clint Hamill, thank you so much from Gateway Foundation.
That was an honor, Paul. Thank you for the opportunity, really.
Good. Well, we're going to have you back and be a regular and let us know how you guys are doing at Gateway and how everybody's doing.
Anytime, man.
So well articulated by Clint Hamill. His story dying to be a book as well. And I can imagine the things he would tell you that would have such wisdom in the area of recovery. Okay, back to my book, Cooked in L.A., 10-year anniversary. Here's a low moment. Bright and early Sunday morning, totally distraught, trying to drive home through my own self-pity. You can probably guess the coincidence ready to happen. After a couple blocks, he pulls even with me and gestures again. My gosh. I cautiously look over. It is Johnny, my childhood drinking buddy who found recovery and happiness. There's no way it's him. This guy moved to Kansas City 4 months ago. Why is he here? He's motioning for me to pull over. With tears in my eyes, I pull over to a parking lot. Just our two cars occupy the lot. His window comes down. Hey, buddy, you don't look too good. Johnny, what the hell are you doing out this early? And in St. Louis. He gets out of his car and into mine. I'm not sure, but it looks like you need some help, he says. I can't believe you're here. Johnny puts his arm around me. He knows where I am. He's been there. I can't do this anymore, I cry. He says, I know. I'm just so damn beat up. As I cry, I still can't believe Johnny's here. Until now, I had always tried to paint my drug and alcohol use as something that didn't really bother me, something very light. But now he knows the truth. I just can't stop. It can be done, man. Look at me, I stopped. You are a miracle. Being here right now is a miracle, Johnny. Yep, it is. He's just so low key. God, I can't believe it. You wouldn't believe what I was doing right before seeing you. Oh, I saw you. How about we get you to a meeting tonight? Okay. That night, Johnny has a guy he sponsors in a 12-step program take me to another meeting. The speaker is amazing. His charisma cuts through. I sit there and again cry in my seat. This happens a lot. Okay, that's the end of this part I wanted to read to you. Can you believe he showed up? If you were there, it was even more extraordinary. I asked for help, and it pulled around the corner, first thinking it was a lady. Coincidences happen to me every single day. Not as profound, but they happen to you as well. I'm not special. Try doing it someone else's way if you're in a situation even close to what I was feeling. The details are never the exact same, but the feelings are. Thanks again for listening to Life After Lemons. You can always contact me if you need to as well. You got Clint's cell phone. I'm Paul at Y98.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.